Welcome to this episode of FEA Today. My name is Matt Costella, director of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, headquartered at the Grace Bible Church in Fresno, California. Our hope and prayer is that this brief program will encourage you in the things of the Lord and direct your attention to God's Word as you seek to make sense of the world in which you find yourself today. During the past few episodes of FEA Today, I have taken the time to really introduce to you the ministry of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association. I mentioned at the outset that since its inception in 1928, almost 90 years ago, the Fundamental Evangelistic Association has had a focus, a motto, if you will, of preaching the gospel, teaching the word, and contending for the faith. And that is something that we have sought to do for almost 90 years now. Maintain a real biblical balance in ministry as we seek to provide resources and helps to pastors and churches and Christians in the United States and all over the world. In our first episode, I dealt with that first aspect of our focus, which is preaching the gospel. Last time, I dealt with the idea of teaching the word, biblical discipleship, and understanding really the role the church should play in equipping believers for the work of the ministry. It should be an indoctrination center, an indoctrination ground in the truth of God's word. Today, briefly with the time that we have, I want to focus on the third and final aspect of our focus or our motto, that which is contending for the faith. And we go back to Acts chapter 20, which we looked at last week again, where the Apostle Paul gathers the Ephesian elders together, and he tells the Ephesian elders, knowing that he will not see them again, he called them to Miletus, and he said, verse 27 of Acts chapter 20, he says, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Paul is telling these Ephesian elders, the leaders of the church at Ephesus, he is telling them, "I have done everything I could do to declare both the positive and the negative, the exhortations as well as the admonitions and the warnings." And he goes on, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." And then Paul goes on and says, he knows that grievous wolves will enter the flock, not sparing the flock. Paul is making it very clear to the elders at Ephesus here that both positive and negative is essential, not only that the leaders of the church are warned and taught, but that they do the same to the believers who are a part of the flock. If we were to keep going here, Paul says, "I know after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." He says also, "Of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to," notice this word, "warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul's conversation with the Ephesian elders entails an exhortation to them to also minister from their heart as he ministered to them from the heart, and to watch out and to beware of anything that would hinder them from doing this. Specifically, to beware, number one, of the grievous wolves. And that word "grievous" there carries with it the idea of people who throw burdensome weights on believers. Burdensome weights. And then perverse teachers, we see in verse 30. They are perverse teachers speaking perverse things. Those leaders in the church who will distort or twist God's word. Paul is saying, "I warned you of these things. Now you need to be careful yourselves, and you then also need to turn around and warn the believers of these things." In other words, contend for the faith. We'll look at that in just a moment. But this is a vital part of biblical balance in ministry. Not only preaching the gospel, not only teaching the word, but also contending for the faith. It's very important we understand this. In fact, the Apostle Peter made it clear when he was writing his letter that as an elder, he's writing to other elders, and he tells them that they are to feed the flock of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And he makes it very clear as he goes on through here in his letter that the elders of the church must feed the flock. And part of this feeding of the flock is making the flock aware of the false teachers and the false doctrine. In fact, his second letter, 2 Peter, is really all about this, addressing the problem that had come up in the church in regard to the false teachers who were entering in, really not sparing the flock. Well, if you notice Jude, the short epistle of Jude, which comes right before the book of Revelation, the apostle Jude writes in verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in." There are certain individuals who have crept into the professing church who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. What an important verse. There are several things that we need to point out here concerning this verse. And what this verse means to us, first of all, is that you realize that one thing is actually more important oftentimes than the gospel message, and that is the defense of the faith when it is under attack within the church. The problem today is that millions of people have a watered-down view of Christianity. People believe that as long as people are claiming to come to Christ through certain churches, movements, or programs or ministries, then God must approve. In other words, the end justifies the means. This is a grievous and unbiblical error. Jude is saying here, "I wanted to write to you of the positives, the wonderful common salvation that we share in Jesus Christ." But he says, "The Holy Spirit compelled me to cover something else, something that's more important than that right now." And whereas the church today may say, you know, as long as anybody calls Jesus Lord, or as long as something claims to be Christian, you shouldn't criticize or you shouldn't judge. Well, Jude comes onto the scene and says, listen here, the church needs to wake up. And the church needs to understand there are times when we must contend for the faith. And notice this, the phrases, notice these two phrases, the faith and once delivered that Jude writes. Those phrases reveal that the foundation of Christian doctrine had already been defined in the early church by this point. And of course, certainly the same is true today. We have the faith, not referring here just to the gospel or believing faith. It's the faith, the body of truth that has been once delivered unto the church. Any more, quote-unquote, new revelation, except that by the Apostle John, because he was an apostle, which is written, he writes Revelation on the Isle of Patmos, any more new revelation should be absolutely rejected. Today, there are millions of people who are claiming to have received messages or visions or tongues or whatever it might be from God, receiving new revelation from God. That is to be rejected. The phrase, the faith, and once delivered, reveals that God's complete scripture is all sufficient to equip us to be throughly furnished unto all good works, to be everything that God wants us to be. And if we were going to continue to look at Jude here, which of course we're not going to take the time to do today, but we will notice that the apostates who had crept into the church, these false teachers that Jude is saying that you need to contend and warn against, they were changing the doctrine. They were changing the revealed truth once delivered. They were boasting of visions. We can see this. They were dividing the church. They were self-centered and materialistic, and they were reviling angelic beings. Now, doesn't this sound very familiar today? It sounds very characteristic of what's so popular, not only in the charismatic and Pentecostal movements today, but sadly, even among many professing new evangelical and evangelical churches. Well, Jude tells the believers here to remember the words spoken before by the apostles of Christ. Reject this quote-unquote new revelation that these false teachers who have entered the church are claiming to have received from God. So we see all of this here in Jude verse 3. We also find that all doctrine is important. If the Word of God teaches something, it is important. It's not our place to pick and choose and say, well, the gospel's important, but it's the only thing important. Any other doctrine, any other teaching is subject to our own judgment of whether or not we deem it important or necessary. No, all doctrine is important. And our call by God himself, what God desires of us, is to continually contend or diligently battle against any who pervert the doctrine of Jesus Christ as is revealed in his word. I mean, as biblical fundamentalists, we have historically stood for the fundamentals of the faith, yet it does not stop there. We must not only be satisfied with believing the core doctrines of what it means to be a Christian, but we must be willing to battle for them if needed, just as Jude has told us to do. And we must focus on the fact here that this call to earnestly contend for the faith isn't just for a church leader, isn't just for an apostle in the early church. This call to earnestly contend for the faith is directed to every individual believer. So how practically do we do this? We're not talking here about being divisive. We're not talking here about being isolationist. We're simply talking about the need here to make much of doctrine, to earnestly contend for the faith when it is under attack. And as we read elsewhere in the New Testament scriptures over and over again, and the principle is there in the Old Testament, we need to separate in any kind of worship or ministry endeavor from those who are perverting the gospel of Christ or embracing false teaching or false doctrine. So how do we contend earnestly for the faith? Well, we do this, first of all, when we support faithful pastors and churches that are taking God's word seriously and declaring the whole counsel of God. That's a very positive way that we can contend earnestly for the faith. Support pastors and churches and ministries that are making much of doctrine, that are declaring the true gospel and standing strong on the faith, declaring the whole counsel of God. Another way we can do this is to witness to others about our Savior. Despite the fact that many professed Christians today believe, hey, everyone will eventually reach God in their own way, that's not what the Bible teaches. So we earnestly contend for the faith when we continually get the gospel out there into the hands of those who need it. And we let them know, God desires a relationship with you, and this relationship only comes through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Another way is we can refuse to support or identify with those ministers or ministries that compromise or are engaged in compromise. Not only positively can we support and back up faithful ministries and churches and pastors, but we must take a stand and refuse to support or identify with those ministers or ministries that compromise. That's another way that all of us can earnestly contend for the faith. Another thing we can do is really speak out against false gospels. The gospel is under attack today. It's been under attack for 2,000 years, and it seems as though it's only growing worse and worse with regard to the attack against the gospel today. And we have to understand, we can have a role in speaking out against false gospels. If you're talking to somebody and they say, oh yeah, I know how I can know Jesus Christ, or I know how I can go to heaven or have a relationship with God, I just need to do enough good, or I need to not do as much bad, or whatever it might be, we can speak out. And we can say, no, the God's word declares the just shall live by faith. And it is not of works, but it's by faith. Don't rely on other people either. This is something that I like to share with our people here quite often. Don't think that, well, because my pastor is a contender for the faith, that, you know, I really can ride his coattails and don't have to do anything myself. Don't quench the spirit in your own life. Teach your children, teach your grandchildren proper priorities and why they believe what they believe. I close today with a quote from Dr. T.C. Horton, who wrote, "The church has been the battleground for ages. There are no new errors, no new assaults, no new arguments against the faith. All are old. There is no need to fear that God's word will fail or be destroyed. It cannot. Men's opinions change, but God's word can never change. How shall we contend? By faithful adherence to its precepts, by faithful confession of its power, by showing its marvelous symmetry and simplicity. How shall we contend? By refuting error, by praying for the Bible's success. Read it, preach it, teach it, live it. God's word is a sword. Use it." What a blessing. I thank you for joining us for this episode of FEA Today. Please check out the FEA's website at www.feasite. That's www.feasite.org. And until next time, our prayer is that the Lord will bless you as you seek to preach the gospel, teach the word, and earnestly contend for the faith.